and a thousand. Good morning, New Life. Good morning. There's somebody. One person said morning. Thank you. Good morning, New Life Church. I hope you're all doing really well this morning. I'm excited to lead you guys in worship this morning. If you would please rise with us. One thing I feel like we all have in common right now is a little bit of maybe some of you are exempt, but a little bit of a spirit of fear and anxiety. Some people it's, you know, because of the virus. Some people it's because of restrictions. Some people it's, like, everybody has some sort of fear and anxiety right now. And a good friend of mine this week wasn't feeling very good, and he said, all this fear and confusion and anxiety serves as a massive distraction from the love of God. And I mean, obviously, we have to reconcile it, but it can be a distraction. So I just really hope that this morning, as we lead you in worship, that we can just put the distractions aside and just focus on Christ as our center. So that's why I chose this song first. And maybe it was just more for me, but I also really hope that it blesses you guys. That you guys are able to sing out this morning and just get rid of the distractions. Just close your eyes if you need to. Don't even sing right away. Just ask God to just be the center of your life as we worship this morning.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I feel. When brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken.
Love.
God, we just lift your name this morning. We cast down our idols, Father, whatever those are. We just bring those to you, anything we've put over you and above you, whether that's something material, whether it's emotion or feelings. Just help us recenter our lives back on you, Father.
We're going to continue to worship in our offering, and that is part of our worship. And today our offering is for the Benevolent Fund. This fund is administered by our deacons to help those in need, those who also to help families with their Christian school tuition, and more recently, and probably continuing, to help those who have been victims through the recent floods. You can bring your offerings into the collection boxes at the front, if you wish, or you can give electronically, which is shown on the screen behind me. There are several different ways of doing that. So during the next song, in whichever way you want, please bring your offering to God today, remembering it is worship to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you care for us, that you are a God who watches over us, meets our needs, and provides for us. And we thank you that in worshiping you by bringing our offering, you are inviting us to share in your ministry. We pray that we may give from open and generous hearts, and that those who receive this offering, for whatever needs they have, they will be met, and they will know that they are cared for and loved by you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Please stand and join in the last song together.
Joy in the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Janet, and I hope you can understand me, but I've been in England for 4 weeks, so my accent could be a bit stronger, but I will try to sound as Canadian as I can. So if you are here today for the first time, or one of the first times, and you haven't filled out a Connect card that is in front of you, in your seat in front, we would ask you to do that so that we can get to know you better, and you can put it in one of the connection boxes at the end or in the offering box. So we have a few announcements for today. One of them is about the cold weather shelter. I hear you had some cold weather while I was away. I worked out that on New Year's Day, which was a record in London, a record hot of 16 degrees Celsius, you had 16 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about negative 8 or 9 degrees. Kind of ironic, but same temperature, just a different letter. But I think you were suffering more than we were. But I'm sure those people in the cold weather shelter really have appreciated the support, and they still continue to need it. So in the foyer, there's a promotional board for ways to help. Simply take a little card that best matches how you're able to serve. The shelter needs volunteers also to help host people, as well as donations of socks, mittens, blankets, hats, and sandwich buns. It opens in cold weather to provide a safe place to sleep for people experiencing homelessness, and it's located at Gateway Community Church. Now, how many of you are missing having coffee in church? I think quite a few of you. Well, if you are, we've got a sort of solution. We are selling the coffee so you can take it home and have it. We're selling it for our missionaries. Now, one of the missions committee went around town checking out coffee prices. If you buy 10 pounds of our coffee, it only works out, I think, at a dollar a pound more than the lowest organic, you know, specially grown coffee that you can buy in town, and that's at Costco. Now, I ask you, would you rather support New Life missionaries, or would you rather support Costco? So please remember that when you come and buy. The money not only goes to help our missionaries, but it also supports a community farm there in Honduras. So please consider that. Okay, well, we're going to be dismissing the kids. Nursery and Little Lights are going to be meeting upstairs in room 301 and Kids Church upstairs in 303. So nobody is to go down to the lower floors at the moment. We're nearing completion of the repairs, and hopefully we'll be able to welcome people downstairs again in a month. So children 0 to grade 5 can go out through the doors to my right and go upstairs instead of down. And if you're new and you wonder where to take your children, just go that way and somebody will help you. If you didn't check your child in this morning, please do so. Please go with them and check them in. So now we're going to have our 3-minute break so that people can actually take their children out and do all that sort of thing. Please remember to use your mask, and they must be kept on at all times in the worship service, except when you're doing what I'm doing now, or preaching and or singing. So singing up here on the stage. So please, parents, take your children where they're supposed to, and the rest of you have opportunity to greet one another. Thank you.
Brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver, mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't. but save. Let's sing it out, faith.
Well, welcome again to New Life. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. And glad you're here as well. So, we're carrying on with our worship theme, and this particular series that we're in is called A Royal Waste of Time. I'm just intrigued by the title, because sometimes it might feel like that it's a waste of time to show up in church and you've got other things to do, or you just try to cram your schedule in different ways and so on. So we want to think about that. Is that a healthy perspective? But it is a waste of time in the sense that last week what we talked about was trying to gain a sense of the center of worship. Is that as we sang earlier, It's recognizing that everything in this world is holy. And so we want to bring glory to God. And in that sense, we don't get anything out of it. So this morning, I want us to continue to reflect on that, because here's the key point. When our worship is for self-gratification, when our worship is for what we get out of it, then it becomes worship of ourselves. Now, that might be a little bit alarming, and we go, well, no, I don't mean that. Oh, I know. We never mean that. But that's where it strays. That's where it kind of just descends into worshiping ourselves. It's our central concern. When, as we said last week, our central concern is God and His holiness, His glory, His majesty. So when worship is for the praise of God's glory, and you're going to hear that phrase in our scripture reading today, When worship is for the praise of God's glory, then it becomes communal. And no longer is it simply about what I got out of it, but it's about worshiping together, which perhaps is a challenge. Welcome to you who are online, but for you who are online, the challenge is, what does it mean for you to worship in community? For those of us who showed up in church here on Sunday, today, we might say, oh, I did good today. Except that one of the things that I'm hearing throughout the week is that people are staying away because they don't feel safe here. That's the challenge to us here, is what does it mean to be a worshiping community in order to draw others into that community? So this business of worship in community is critical to our royal waste of time of worshiping. Paul talks about it in Ephesians. Ephesians is just a beautiful letter that expresses just the splendor of being the church, the body of Christ. Paul celebrates that. The Ephesian church in his time must have just been a great place to be. Probably something like New Life Church. Listen, this is what he says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Get that. Before the creation of the world, he chose us in him to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise, here it is, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. We belong to God. He's chosen us, even before the creation of the world. That was his idea. It was his plan all along. It's like, I'm going to gather these people for myself. It's going to be awesome. We belong to God because he's made us into his family. It's his project, his plan, his mission. It's God's idea, his initiative. We're simply responding. We're simply in worship, we're responding to all of God's actions, all of God's great deeds of salvation, all of God's great deeds of preserving this world, of providing for this world, all of that. We're simply responding to God's action when we worship him. Our tendency is to think the other way around, that we're family because we happen to belong to God. And therefore, we're connected to each other. The only reason we're connected to each other is simply because, well, we have the same interest. In other words, it becomes our decision. It becomes our motivation. It becomes our initiative. And there is the danger, because then it shifts into worship of self. We think that church then and worship, like we think of attending a concert. We're interested in it, so we go. And so does somebody else, and now we're community because we decided. But in communal worship, it's the other way around. We're community not because you and I decided to come together this morning. We're a community in worship because God, even before creation, decided this is how it would be. We think we're family because we decided ourselves to belong to God. But really, we belong to God because he made us into his family. And the only appropriate response to that is to worship God together. It matters. Because when we worship based on our initiative, then we're in control. I think that's one of the big lessons that we've learned through this pandemic. we've been so in control of our worship. We've thought, we've been so impressed with how we can perform and place this all before God. And of course, all of it piously, all of it well-intended. But if anything, the lesson is we're not in control of it. So we've had to make adaptations all along the way to make it work, to somehow figure out how do we just continue to respond to God's greatness in the midst of all of this. When we're in control, we place all of the glory and all of the power upon ourselves rather than on the Father. We end up worshiping ourselves. Worshiping God becomes, in fact, optional. Reflected in our decisions sometimes to say, maybe I won't go to church today. I don't need to. Or, I had a great worship time by myself the other day. Or, I just want to fit this other thing in. Reflects the fact that we think we're in control. When God's in charge, when God's calling the shots, when God's on the throne, worship becomes the only thing left for us. As Paul says, to the praise of his glorious grace. I'm hoping that this year, as we think about this theme of worship, that we can become overwhelmed by that becomes the driving force for the praise of God's glorious grace for us in our daily lives, to recognize the grace that God extends to us moment by moment, drawing us together in worship. Paul says something else, though, in terms of what it means to be this community in worship. He talks about being sold into freedom, essentially, which sounds like an odd phrase to us. But as Paul continues to celebrate the Ephesian church, he explains that beyond even belonging to God, it's through Jesus, of course, that we have been bought by God. Not just that we belong to God, we've been bought by God. We're not just saved from sin and death and then just we can carry on. No, we're saved into life. We're saved into freedom, but at the cost, a great cost, of God's gracious sacrifice in Jesus Christ. So Paul writes, as he continues with this celebration of the body of Christ in worship, in Christ, verse 7, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. There's that sense of just being overwhelmed by God's grace. With all wisdom and understanding, God made known to us the mystery of his will. Isn't that amazing? God makes known the mystery of his will. What otherwise would be unknown to us, God says, I'll let you in on what I'm doing. I'll let you in on who I am. We ought to be amazed by that. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That's God's mission. And in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be, here's that phrase again, for the praise of his glory. It's the second time Paul emphasizes this idea of worshiping God. Because we've been sold into freedom. Which, to our ears, perhaps doesn't really make sense. We think of being sold and freedom as complete opposites. But the fact is, we're not saved merely to have our own life back. We're not saved merely to be our own true self, as is often promoted. We don't gain our freedom just so that we can do our own thing. That's one of the weaknesses, I think, of popular Christianity, is that it's been sucked into this self-help age. Christianity is seen as simply a way to improve ourselves. You want to be a better person? Become a Christian. It's just automatic then. That's how we promote Christianity, but that's actually a false gospel. The problem is that whenever and whatever freedom is denied us, then we think that we're losing power and losing control, and we want to assert ourselves and make sure that we stay in control. And then what happens? We begin to simply worship ourselves again. And at that point, we're no longer ruled by the peace of Christ, but by that fear and suspicion that Andrea was referring to at the beginning of our worship service. You've been redeemed. You've been bought back. But not just to be your own individual person. You've been redeemed because God heaped his grace on you, but even more so, you've been redeemed because God's great purpose has been revealed. The mystery of his will. And what is that? To bring all things, verse 10, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And there's that sense of being family again. Not because we chose God, but because God is at work in Christ, bringing all things together. Worship means in community. E. Stanley Jones was a lay missionary and evangelist, well known decades ago. He says this: everyone who belongs to Christ belongs to everyone else who belongs to Christ. Catch that? Everyone who belongs to Christ belongs to everyone else who belongs to Christ. You don't have to seek for unity. You don't have to build unity. You have it in Christ. We simply become brothers and sisters in Christ when we allow Christ to live in us. Outside of that community, we're alone, we're lost, and in fact, unredeemed. Which doesn't mean that there's no room then for individual worship. There certainly is, of course. But worship isn't offered to God in order to make ourselves feel good. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But worship happens because we're responding to what God has done in Jesus Christ. And what God has done in Jesus Christ is to bring us together in community. As Paul says for a second time in this passage, worship happens for the praise of God's glory. We're devoted to what God is up to, and he's revealed what he's up to, bringing all things together in Christ. Worship means in community. The danger, of course, for us is that we think in terms of what it's worth to us. Because we're so focused on self-satisfaction. But when worship is for self-gratification, we end up worshiping ourselves. But when worship happens because we've been sold into freedom, well then we come together in Jesus Christ as the redeemed community for the praise of God's glory. Worship. Everything is drawn to worship. From that perspective, then, of worship in community, we ascribe glory to God. But it's not just completely giving out. Certainly, worship is that offering, right? When you sit here, it's not because you get something from whoever happens to be on stage here. It's a continual offering. And yet there is benefit for us. Here's what Paul says about that as he continues celebrating the church of Jesus Christ. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. He's speaking to Christians who are saying, I don't know, this is pretty tough, you know, because the government's against us all of society is against us. We're just this little sect. We're, you know, just brand new Christians. We're brand new church. We're a fish out of water. We don't know how to make it through. People are declining to do business with us because we follow Jesus, and they're suspicious about that, and they're wondering about that. And so Paul is celebrating being in Christ, and he says, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing. Notice that strong language. Paul's saying, here's your benefit. Here's why you're part of the body of Christ. Here's why you persist in following Jesus despite everything else that goes against you. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, that sense of belonging to God. And then Paul concludes that with this phrase again, to the praise of his glory. We gain a tremendous hope, in other words, for moving out into the world with the certainty that Christ holds all things together and that God will accomplish his purposes as he brings us to himself. We gain tremendous confidence that we can live selflessly, not lose out, but rather we'll enjoy the riches of his glorious inheritance. So the benefit of worshiping in community is not so that we can clear ourselves with God and say, I'm good, God, so I hope you're impressed with me, and then go ahead and live life on our own. We're a community. A community not only adopted, not only redeemed, but a community with a certain destiny, a guaranteed destiny. We're a community, a family even, whose Father will not give up on us. And so in the midst of fear and anxiety, we press on courageously because we've been given the promised Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance. We know what we're about. We know together that we are called by God as his family, fulfilling his purposes. I want you to notice in these distinctly three parts, as I read each of these passages, that Paul crafts it around the Trinity, the triune God. God the Father claims us as his own to the praise of his glorious grace. And then as Paul carries on, Christ saves us into a redeemed community. Why? For the praise of his glory. And then he carries on, the Holy Spirit guarantees our everlasting hope. Why? To the praise of his glory. All of the triune God's actions culminate in praise and worship. It's the only possible response to what God is up to as he gathers us as his own. We join in God's multiple fashion. We join together as a multitude, as a congregation, as a family, and we join even with the multitude of angels for the praise of God's glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. God, help us to be that kind of worshiping community that recognizes your action in our lives, that you've chosen us, that we belong to you, God. Nothing can take that away. That you've paid for us, bought us our freedom in Christ for the praise of your glory. That you've guaranteed, God, our destiny so that we no longer have to be afraid of what might happen to us. And so, Father, inspire us as a community to worship together, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to draw each other closer to you, to care for one another, for the praise of your glory. Lord, even today, I pray that you'll surprise us with your glory. Reveal that to us as you have revealed the mystery of your will. Help us to marvel at the grace that you've lavished on us, that you would call us your children, that you would make us your family, that you treat us as family, as community, as people drawn together in Christ. And so may we reflect that in our respect for one another, in our honor for one another, in our joy of participating in one another, in our lives together. May we celebrate that, God, as we offer our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God has given us a gracious and a wonderful sign of that celebration of community in the gift of the Lord's Supper. And so on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body. It's given for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins." And then after supper, in like manner, he took a cup, and he said, "This is my blood, poured out for you as a new covenant in my blood, so that you are redeemed." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Draw us together as the family of God." I want to invite you to celebrate God's great sacrifice of his Son that draws us together as his family. And so we have two stations in the back, three stations here, and I invite you to gather around these stations as you testify that Jesus is your Savior and the Master of your life. I invite you to gather around and receive the bread and the juice. I remind you to wear your mask, except when you're taking in, just pull it down and then carry on. Respect each other's distance so that we can plenty of room here. And let's celebrate this together and wonder, be amazed at God's grace for you. I invite the servers to attend to their stations at this time. Those of you who are online, you will have an opportunity to take part in this celebration as well. A video will be shown just shortly to lead you in that celebration of communion. We are drawn together, whether online or here, we're drawn together in the power of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he has made for us, the gifts of God for the people of God. Welcome to this celebration of the Lord's Supper. While the rest of the congregation in the auditorium is taking part of the elements in this celebration, I invite you to gather your bread and your juice, and we are going to celebrate here together. And so take the bread, and as you eat it, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the forgiveness of all your sins.
What gift of grace is
And then take the juice. Jesus poured out his blood so that you could have life and life forevermore. So take it, drink this juice. Remember and believe that Jesus poured out his blood for the forgiveness of all your sins to redeem you into a brand new life. We now rejoin the live stream of the worship service, and you may have to wait for some of the other groups to finish up, and then we will resume our worship together.
No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Go on up to the mountain of mercy, to the crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down on the shore, be thirsty no more. Go under and be purified. Follow Christ to the holy mountain. Sinner sorry and wrecked by the fall. Cleanse your heart and your soul
in the fountain that flows for you and for me and for all. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night. On the hillside you will be delivered, at the foot of the cross justified, and your spirit restored by the river that pours from our blessed Savior's side. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night. On that beautiful, scandalous night. Go on up to the mountain of mercy, to the crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down on the shore, be thirsty no more. Go under and be purified. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night.
one time.
And you're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
So go from this place. Live your life for Jesus Christ, who bought you his freedom. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.